everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. And on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Nice-looking, chilly day, but, I mean, you know, it is almost Thanksgiving. And let us remind you right here off the top that we will not be on the air on Thanksgiving Day. But we're here the rest of the week because it is Iron Bowl week. Lots to talk about. We'd love for you to join in here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive, which is coming to you from our regular location with the regular crew. It's Bill, Dan, and Drew, the regular crew here in the WOW Business Studio.
That's right. You can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
Hour number one of The Drive brought to you by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. Also, the sponsor of our hotline, where we welcome guests who can't be with us in person, such as our two guests today, Barrett Sully at the bottom of this hour. Barrett, of course, from CBSSports.com and SiriusXM. And then next hour at around 5:30, Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show joining us on the Kia of Auburn hotline. And the rest of the time, we welcome your calls. 334-321-1390.
That's right. You can also reach out to the show with the Drive text box, 334-564-1840, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Love to hear your thoughts on, I mean, we can still talk about this past weekend, I understand, if you still have feelings about the South Carolina game, but there was a lot we didn't get to over the weekend.
You're right. I mean, more coaching changes. We just glanced. We barely touched on the Dan Mullen news with Florida now in the market for a new head coach.
Absolutely. Dan Mullen, Florida losing to Missouri on Saturday, and Dan Mullen being terminated by the University of Florida. They enter the fray looking for a new coach. Maybe, I don't know, with Barrett and Jake, maybe we ask who they think. I think we already have, maybe that was before the contract extension, though. I think Barrett was thinking Mel Tucker for LSU, or maybe not. Maybe I'm getting him confused. Oh, he said Billy Napier. I think he was Billy Napier.
And Billy Napier is being talked about a good bit by Florida, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, the two, well, we'll see. I mean, we'll talk with Barrett and Jake about this. Well, this is also our last chance to talk about basketball before tomorrow's game with Auburn and UConn down in the Bahamas. With regards to basketball, Bill, I mean, let's start with coaching. Does anyone jump out to you as an obvious candidate at Florida?
No, there's nobody that I just feel like, oh, that's the guy, he's been the guy, and that's who they ought to get. I'm not really sure.
I mean, the guy, if we're assuming he's still got gas in the tank, that guy is Bob Stoops. I don't know if he's...
That's true.
He's 61. He has Florida ties. He's on Fox, national television every week. He did have the coaching stint in the XFL. Like, if Bob Stoops wants to coach, I feel like there are two places with USC and Florida where it would be difficult to question the hiring Bob Stoops if you're trying to make a big splash and he wants the job.
Right.
I don't know if Bob Stoops wants to coach college football anymore. I mean,
nor do I.
He's been out of it a long time. I mean, you think
it would definitely be worth Scott Strickland checking.
It's a good phone
checking call with Bob Stoops just to see.
It's one of the first phone calls.
Oh, absolutely.
I would think, and it's not as though he's completely out of it as someone who coached professionally in the XFL and is a college football analyst for for Fox. He sort of replaced Urban Meyer on that stage when Urban went to the Jaguars. So, I mean, I think Bob Stoops would make some sense. I also understand why you wouldn't want to go that route. You know, maybe you think it, you know, it's time to,
you want somebody for a long term.
Yeah, I mean, find the next version of something rather than going back
somebody
to Bob Stoops.
Somebody you hope could be around at least the better part of a decade.
The guy I just refuse to believe, unless there's something going on I don't know about, the guy I just can't imagine will be back at his current school if there are suitors is Dave Aranda.
Today two reports out of Louisiana that Dave Aranda is the front runner for the LSU job, but then a third report saying no, he is third in line. They're still going to go all out. Jimbo Fisher, Lincoln Riley, then Dave Aranda could possibly be the next guy.
And Dave Aranda is from the Los Angeles area originally. I think he's from Redlands. So I mean, this is a guy with California ties as well. And it's just hard to imagine not to impugn Waco, Texas, too much, but it's hard to imagine.
It's hard to imagine him being there for very long.
If either USC or LSU want, and maybe Florida too. Why wouldn't you throw Florida into that mix as a? I mean, there are no direct ties between Dave Aranda and Florida, but I mean, it's I don't know. And then I guess the other coach that, since we're talking about coaches who might not return to their current schools, and we've already said Billy Napier, and we've already said Dave Aranda, Lane Kiffin could be a player. No, I mean, USC,
Lane's going to make a lot more money next year, whether he's still at Ole Miss or gets another opportunity.
There are some permanent wounds at between Lane and USC. Like, it's just tough to imagine, you know, USC seriously exploring that or Lane Kiffin be. I mean, I don't know, but I can see why Lane Kiffin would look at LSU and Florida as places where, I mean, maybe Ole Miss's ancient history doesn't matter. Maybe it's not terribly germane to Lane Kiffin that Ole Miss has never
won
the West.
It's probably not the most important thing.
But, I mean, if
you still have a better chance of winning big on a consistent basis at LSU or Florida than you do as compared to Ole Miss.
And you have to imagine Lane. I mean, everything about Lane Kiffin tells you he's interested in winning big. Right? I mean, so I could see. And he coached. And he coached at Florida Atlantic and recruited Florida heavily before coming to Ole Miss, which would maybe intrigue. And he's also, as a school that has a history of brash offensive coaches.
True.
Right? Not
true.
And I mean offensive, I guess, more than one way.
Right.
But I mean, you think about over the last 30 years, right? Spurrier and Urban Meyer. I mean, Lane Kiffin's not.
And Dan Mullen.
And Dan Mullen. I mean, there is sort of, I mean, right. Kiffin would be in that mold to a degree. So I could see why if you know, and I don't know. I could see why
I just wonder.
I could see how those puzzle pieces fit together.
I haven't spent nearly as much time with him since he's been the AD, but Lane just doesn't seem like Scott Strickland's guy. But I mean, You could sure do a lot worse, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that once your coach takes you to the playoff, he becomes your kind of guy.
That's right.
If you think if you're Florida and you're thinking what's the shortest shortcut to the playoff right now, is it Lane Kiffin? Like, is that the guy that you think could get you there as quickly as anyone, you know, that you could conceivably hire? I don't know. Maybe there's a case for that. In Gainesville,
you want offensive football, and I think that's what you're looking at these days. You're not going to do much better.
Seems like
proven than Lane.
Seems like those are where the phone calls start, right? You know, for Florida. And what was the Dave Aranda report? Are you buying that?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I would not be surprised. And I'm also not surprised that to some power brokers at LSU, they still want to shoot for the moon and make sure that they exhaust every opportunity with Jimbo Fisher and Lincoln Riley, but then still hold out hope that they can get a Dave Aranda as a third possibility.
I can see why LSU would view Dave Aranda as someone who's relatively safely theirs if they make the call, and if they want to go explore splashier options first, sort of quietly. Don't rub it in Dave Aranda's face that he wasn't the first choice. But if you want to take a run at Jimbo Fisher or Lincoln Riley, you know, I sort of understand it. The USC could be the school that could throw a wrench into that, because if Dave Aranda were to win the rest of his games at Baylor this year, being from Los Angeles, being from the California area, I think it's not necessarily Los Angeles, but he's from close enough that plus his record over the last few years as a national champion defensive coordinator and a guy winning at Baylor could maybe intrigue USC enough to, I mean, then LSU's got it. You know, then that's, I think that's the only way that backfires, right? If you feel
if you try to put him on hold,
right? If you slow play it, and there's another power.
But
that
I think
wants
if you're out there right now, then they get him.
Oh, certainly. No, I think that the only way that would backfire would be if you played it too slow and another superpower wanted him, or I guess Baylor, because they do have the healthy endowment, they could come with a really, really strong offer themselves if they really wanted to keep him. It just seems like, I mean, maybe you stay, but that's, I mean, and there would be reasons. And if he could get, I don't know if they offer to make him, you know, if they put him in that stratosphere of coaches, maybe they could convince him to stay. I just feel like it would be a tough, you know, if you're Baylor and USC wants your coach in football and he's from there, or LSU wants your coach and he won a championship as a coordinator there, you might have to brace for losing him.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Wasn't sure if you were going to be here after you sent the schedule of all your Troy games.
That's right, but I'm here today. We did not. So what we're doing is, at least in the attic, Troy's playing a pretty adventurous out of conference
road
slate.
Your road games, you're doing remote.
Well, no, I'm going with a couple of road games when they have to get on a plane in the out of conference. They do that. They're going to go to Duke on Saturday, and I couldn't. Between after the game and the schedule, didn't work out. So I'm going to call that one remotely this Sunday. They go to Wake Forest next month. I'm going to call that one remotely too. But most of the road games I'm going to go to. But tonight is one of the exceptions. They're in Columbia, Missouri. They're on SEC Network tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm going to be able to call it remotely after we're done. So I'll be doing the whole show.
Oh, okay.
And then right around 6:30 or so, might duck into a conference room or something here at the station and call the game remotely, since I've got the setup here and the direct link there to Columbia. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Yes, of course, we'd love your thoughts. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise. And yes, Auburn, UConn tomorrow in the opener of the battle for Atlantis, and Auburn will then play either Michigan State or Loyola, I believe, right on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, we checked the bracket yesterday, and there is so Auburn is going to play. I think you're guaranteed three games.
Yes.
So you're gonna play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There's a seventh place game. There's a fifth place game and a third place game on Friday before the championship. So everyone will have an opponent, whether or not you win on Wednesday or Thursday.
So it ends up sort of being a round robin, but it's four places.
Right, and that's sir. I mean, you don't want to travel that far for one basketball game, for your RPI. So it makes sense to keep having the teams play even if the championship of the tournament is a single elimination draw. But yeah, it looks like Auburn. I think Michigan State's a pretty comfortable favorite. I'll see if I can find a number on that game tomorrow. But yeah, Auburn and UConn will be. I mean, that's one of the marquee at a conference games of this tournament.
Yeah, and it should be. So looking forward to that.
Speaking of college basketball, if you're in the mood for college basketball tonight, Gonzaga UCLA tonight on ESPN, 9 o'clock start locally. It's a late one. It's in Vegas. I think they're playing at the T-Mobile. But number one versus number two in all the polls to start the college basketball season, rematch of that. I mean, one of the great college basketball games I've ever seen, the Final Four game last year between Gonzaga and UCLA, where Jalen Suggs hits the half court buzzer beater to at the end of the first overtime to send Gonzaga to the championship game. But yeah, they'll rematch tonight in Vegas, and that's, I don't know, it's going to feel like a big college basketball game real early. Most of UCLA is back from last year. Gonzaga's got a new team for the most part, but they're talented. And yeah, I would encourage folks, if you feel like staying up late, because I know it's a 9 p.m. tip is not 10 o'clock in the Eastern time
zone. A lot
of folks
are off tomorrow, though.
But if you, I think maybe they're counting on that when they scheduled it too. But if you're in the mood for some college basketball late tonight, 9 o'clock on ESPN, Gonzaga and UCLA, number one versus number two.
We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Love for you to join in again. The Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. We're open for another segment before our first guest of the day, Barrett Selle, joins us at the bottom of the hour. So stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Time to churn up some more yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com and on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the Wow Business Studio. I think we had Ed ready to talk to him. Lost him. Ed, if you get a chance, give us a call back. We'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind? I mean, you want to talk about the your feelings heading into Saturday? I don't feel a whole lot more comfortable than I did yesterday about the prospects for Saturday.
Do you think there's something? I mean, and maybe in an era where teams are still trying to play as quickly as possible to maximize the number of offensive plays that they run for the most part, do you think there is something to Alabama is so explosive offensively that your offense needs to try to drain every second out of your possession to try to keep them off the field? Like, I just wonder if, like, we've seen teams, and maybe that's a defeatist strategy from the start, but I just think you maybe...
What has been a bigger problem for them this year? Keeping up with, you know, the high score and keeping up with other teams that score a lot. So, thus far this year, that hasn't really worked. The idea of let's slow it down and keep their offense off the field, because their offense still scores fast when they get it. So you had better score. If you're going to keep the ball and drag things out, you better score.
You're right. I mean, the strategy of trying to keep the ball. I mean, you can try to keep them off the field.
Sooner or later, they're going to get the ball.
Right. But
unless you onside kick and recover everyone, and we haven't seen that successfully done yet.
You're right. It's just asking your defense to get stops over and over again seems to be, unless we'll see what happens when Georgia plays them.
Right.
But we have not seen a team. LSU had the most success, right, holding them to
just
21 points.
They did.
But we really haven't seen teams get a lot of stops consistently. Maybe the Auburn defense can do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Started that sentence with maybe for a reason.
Yeah. All right. 334-321-1390. Who have we got?
We got Ed.
We got Ed back. Hey, Ed.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great. I forgot to mention the other day, bragging on the basketball teams, you know, the women, you know, that was a big win that they got.
Huge win, yes.
Yeah, and I'm excited about, you know, they call it Johnny or Coach Harris.
Yes, Johnny,
Yeah, I'm really excited about her attitude and her background and everything. And men's basketball, I'm just, you know, I'm above beyond excited. I really do think that we're going to have a competitive team. But, you know, we're not going to finish fifth, you know, in the SEC, I don't think. But I mean, there are some other really good teams. But
oh, yes.
On the football, I'm definitely not going to. I mean, we knew where a lot of the problems, some of the problems were. But if I could just ask you real quick, and I'm not even going to grade myself, but if I could just ask each one of y'all to grade Harsin, Coach Mason, and Coach Bobo from, as of right now, from, you know, from A to a F or whatever. If y'all could just give me what you think they might, you know. And I know you're going to be kind.
I don't mind. I'll jump right in there.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Appreciate the call, Ed. Look, I felt Auburn had the talent to win 8 games this season in the regular season. I still do. Now, obviously, injuries play a factor in that. I mean, I do think if Auburn had had Bo Nix, they'd have beaten South Carolina regardless. But still, they're going to come up short. So I would say, and when you look at where the national and regional people picked Auburn, I've got to say you've got a C, probably a C. It's been, I guess, satisfactory. It's passing. It's not exceptional. It's not excellent. It's not poor. So I'd give it a pretty solid C, and that would be overall, and that would be your head coach rating. If you want to go to the coordinators, I would give, all right, since I had a C there as my overall, I'll go C-plus for the offense and C-minus for the defense, because I think the offense, I think Bo Nix, we definitely saw some improvement there. I think we've seen things and seen some moments when the offense has looked pretty good. The last couple of ball games, things have sort of tailed off. The lack of using your best player this past ball game drops that grade some for me, but I'd still give about a C plus offensively, and I've got to go C minus defensively, because I just don't know that the players' abilities have been taken best advantage of. And I understand trying to learn a new system, but I don't know that all the players, especially in the secondary, were the best suited for trying to run the zone. You know, hopefully they will, if you're going to stick with this, everyone will be much more comfortable with it by next year. But I'll tell you this, I'm scared to death of what's going to happen to Auburn's zone this Saturday against Bryce Young if they play the same way they've been playing.
Yeah,
so I've got a C-minus, but it's teetering.
Yeah, this is the rare exception where I think you've got more to say about this matter than I do. But it's I would go C's across the board, but they're the kind of C's where you need to do well on the final exam this Saturday, or they might turn into D's.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And if they're D's going into next year, you know, hard to have borderline passing seasons in 2 straight years and make a very compelling argument. I know from experience as a non-spectacular student. So yeah, I would say C's, and if you want to go harsher than that, and you want to say that they're D's even because of the last month, I would think that the highs of
pretty well on the midterm, and yeah, then since then maybe took it a little easy.
I don't want to
relate to those days.
Much of a prisoner of the moment when I, you know, and say that the last 3-4 weeks have turned into, you know,
but if this is a 6-6 season, yeah, which I mean it's going to be an amazement if it's not, and a chance to finish under 500 if you lose the bowl game, that is a disappointment.
I'm very interested, and we talked about this, I think, off the air, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but I do wonder if a coordinator change is made on either side of the ball, will it be a move to somebody that Brian Harsin has worked with before? Like, is that the change? Because both of these guys, even though he's familiar with Mike Bobo, he'd never worked with Mike Bobo before as a coach. He'd never worked with Derek Mason before as a coach. If he changes either of those guys, does he change them to somebody who's worked for him before as a coordinator? Or does he need to go to somebody with a reputation as a recruiter and a needle mover in the SEC?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. We'll talk about that more. I want to get to Chalk before we run out of time here and get to Barrett Sully. Hey, Chalk.
Hey, how's it going, guy?
Pretty good.
Good. That's kind of what I was going to ask, like, what he had just asked, like, where can you determine things went wrong during the season from playing so well at the beginning to now? You know, I've looked at it up and down. I just cannot put my finger on it, man. I don't know.
No, it's like after the, you know, from the Ole Miss game on, something got lost in the shuffle somewhere. I don't know. I mean, just think, though, What would this have been like had T.J. Finley not made that miraculous fourth down throw against Georgia State?
I mean, there were warning signs earlier. The Georgia State game comes to mind as, you know, a game that Auburn was a near miss that would have sort of veered the season towards disaster even earlier than now. But it really, you know, I think the last 2 weeks, it might be a story of just being completely deflated after the A&M loss, right? And I know Auburn did go up 28-3 against Mississippi State a week later.
You still had a lot to play for after A&M.
You're absolutely right. And look, was a blueprint shown, you know, that made it easier for State and Southern California or South Carolina to have success against Auburn? I don't know, but it did seem like it was a different team from the moment the A&M game kicked off to you know, with the exception of what, that first quarter against State?
Well, the first quarter and a half.
Quarter and a half, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, my expectation for this season wasn't very high at all, but because, you know, Bill, I called you back when they hired Gus, and I didn't like that hire. I like, this man gonna put this program behind 5 to 6 years with this type of offense. So that's what I was expecting, but after playing so good at the beginning of the season, I said, well, maybe, you know, it'd be different, but.
Yeah, and you can't, and there's no way that you can say, well, Auburn just didn't have the talent to beat a Mississippi State or South Carolina. That's the most discouraging thing, is those teams aren't more talented on their roster than Auburn. Appreciate the call, Chalk. We've got to get to our bottom of the hour break. Barrett Salee joins us. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com and on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio. Drew once again at the controls. And it's time for us to welcome in our good friend from SiriusXM, CBSSports.com, and that's Barrett Salee. Barrett, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Not as good as James Franklin. At least my bank account is not as good as James Franklin's, but still having a good time.
Yours is closer than ours, Barrett. So, I mean, you're doing all right. So,
I don't know about that.
Well, that is some of the news of the day. I mean, it's one of the things that goes on every year when coaching vacancies come open, when the jobs come open, names get tossed about, and some of those guys, well, just about all of them, have an opportunity to cash in, whether they stay put or leave, and it looks like James, one of those, that they're going to stick around and make a lot more money.
Yeah, his name was always popping up in rumors for other jobs, and I couldn't tell if Penn State wanted Franklin out or if he wanted to leave, but it seems like a happy enough marriage now with those reports, Barrett.
Yeah, James just likes to be loved. There's no doubt about it. And I think right now, unless you're Ohio State or Alabama or Georgia or Clemson, being in the national championship and division title race pretty much every November is about the best you could ask for. And James Franklin is not this year, but I think that's because Sean Clifford got hurt twice. He wasn't last year, but it's COVID and, you know, whatever. It's COVID. But most of the time, they are in that position. He's got 3 11-win seasons, 3 top 10 rankings in the final AP poll. He's a really good coach who can recruit to State College. They've got the 5th best recruiting class in the country right now for a school located in State College, Pennsylvania. I mean, that's like Starkville, but cold. And yet he's still got that kind of class. So Yeah, I mean, he deserves it. And, you know, if there are better coaching options out there for Penn State, I'd love to know who they are. But him being able to consistently get that program, you know, relevant, that's pretty darn impressive this day and age, especially considering kids just don't want to go to state college.
And Maryland could have had him way back when, right, Barrett? I mean, just think about, you know, when he was the Fridges head coach in waiting back in the day. You know, Penn State is one of those places where between fan support and facilities and tradition and history, I mean, there are reasons to believe that you can field a team capable of truly competing for the conference title and winning a national championship. Florida is another one of those type of programs, and it's even though it happens pretty frequently since Urban Meyer left town, Florida is looking for another head coach following the a pretty remarkable implosion,
that was a plummet by Dan Mullen this year in Florida.
Yeah, it was. I think it goes back to program dysfunction. I think it goes back to the tone that Dan set when basically he encouraged players to leave last year, once the season, you know, once the idea of a national championship became more of a fantasy. And I think it's partially because he's extremely difficult to deal with. And Scott Strickland knew that. Scott Strickland knows that. But I think Scott thought that he could do at Florida what he did at Mississippi State, and the dynamics are just so different at Florida. You have to recruit at a high level. You can't just rely on coaching players up and expect to beat Georgia. So, you know, I think the time was up. I think there's recognition that the program was broken to a point where it's not going to get fixed anytime soon. And on top of that, you've had Dan Mullen making it known to the college football world, at least behind the scenes, that he wants to go to the NFL for the last 3 years. So all of that combined, I think, sort of forced this and required this for Florida.
Well, these they don't exactly tie together, but I mean, the fact that you have Florida, LSU, Southern Cal open, making for very happy holidays for James Franklin, the Mel Tuckers of the world, folks like that. I mean, so with some of these guys apparently about to be tied up, what are you hearing? What's the buzz, the early buzz on Florida and the latest from LSU and Southern Cal?
Well, I think that LSU is going to offer Jimbo the job probably Saturday night, probably in Texas A&M's locker room in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's going to happen. He'll probably say no, but I know Scott Woodward, that's going to be job number one.
Right.
You know, and from then moving on, you know, I think they'll look at Mario Cristobal. They'll look at a bunch of different guys, you know, Matt Campbell, Luke Fickell, whatever. They're going to end up with Billy Napier, and that's totally fine. You know, winning the PR battle is not that big of a deal. Those of us that are in the college football world know just how good he is, and I think that's where ultimately they're going to end up. USC, I've long since thought that it's Luke Fickell's. I don't think there's any other way that it's Luke Fickell's. And for Florida, you know, I know they want to be a big-time program, but part of me looks at this and says, okay, we can't let Mario Cristobal get away, because if Oregon had kept winning, Florida or anybody else would not have been able to talk to Cristobal until December 31st at the earliest if they make the playoff. Well, now they're not in the playoff. So as of Saturday night, there's no postseason aspirations for Oregon. Sunday morning, Florida fires their head coach. Are those two things related? I think they might be.
Yeah, Cristobal is an interesting one, because he's another name sort of like Lane Kiffin and Billy Napier, where it seems like whenever a superpower is thinking about making a change or actually makes a change, his name finds its way into the conversation. And with Florida ties, and I mean, it would make sense, you know, the kind of job that would lure Cristobal away from Oregon, Florida fits that bill. I raised the possibility, Barrett, of Bob Stoops earlier in the show. To me, if he wants to come back in, there are two jobs, one on each coast, that seem like they make ideal landing spots if the former Oklahoma coach wants to get back into college football.
Yeah, and I don't think it's an accident that maybe some he's been tied to those, at least on the periphery, but we don't know what he wants to do. And I think that's the biggest thing is you have to, if you're going to go down that road, you have to know 100% that he's attainable. And right now, I don't think he knows that. I think he's very comfortable retired. I think he obviously, that was the reason he left football, was to be close to his family, enjoy that time and all that other stuff. Does he really want to get back into the grind? I don't think he knows that answer yet. So if he doesn't know it, then I don't know if really either of those schools should entertain the possibility of him being the head coach. But once they get the go-ahead, then absolutely. But it's not, I mean, Scott Strickland's not going to convince Bob Stoops to come out of retirement. Like, that's not how that's going to work. You know, Mike Bone's not going to convince Bob Stoops to come out of retirement. Only Bob Stoops can do that. And I think that's still undecided at this point.
Dan mentioned Lane Kiffin. So, Barrett, do you think Lane remains a Rebel? And if so, what type job would he consider if he's not, you know, if he's not a factor for, obviously, Southern Cal makes, I can understand that one because that wasn't such a great party.
They left him at the airport. But
when you're talking LSU and Florida as you know, his name's been mentioned for both of those spots. If he's not interested in going there, where would he leave for? The NFL?
Well, no, not the NFL. I would love to see Lane go back to USC. I mean, that would be awesome.
Oh, it would be an unbelievable story.
Well, and honestly, like, he didn't do bad there. They were in the middle of, like, massive infractions. He was not bad there. So I wish that would happen, but it's not. You know, I think LSU is going to go down that road. The problem is I think Lane really fits Ole Miss just because he can own the town. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, dealing with boosters that feel like they're more important than him. And you have to deal with that at Florida. You have to deal with that at LSU. So I think that he probably will use it for leverage, but if it's sweet enough, then sure. Okay, maybe he would, but I just feel like he's such a perfect fit for Ole Miss. And now after seeing that his offense will work at this level and his team actually playing some pretty darn solid defense at times this year, you know, I think it's fair to say that program is being built to a point where it can contend for the SEC West on a pretty much yearly basis.
And I think the other thing that Lane Kiffin might be thinking about, I agree with you for the most part, although I do think it would be tough to say no to LSU or Florida, you know, at Ole Miss, but maybe if he loves it. But the other thing that could be working, because a common thread with Napier and Cristobal and Kiffin is that maybe, just maybe, all of these guys could be players when Nick Saban steps aside at Alabama, any one of them, depending on the kind of success they have. And that's something else to watch, maybe not this offseason, but that the moment that happens, when Alabama starts looking for their next guy, I mean, that's going to be like the college football version of Succession, right? With all the different possibilities and the cases being made all over the place. And I wonder if Kiffin could maybe be a possibility there.
Yeah, it's a really good point, and the comparison to Succession is perfect. Now, don't tell me what happened on Sunday because I hadn't seen it yet, but I've heard it's awesome. I think it's a very interesting dynamic because all of those guys are kind of in spots where they're going to be successful, right? I think we can all expect Cristobal to be successful at Oregon. We know exactly what Lane can do at Ole Miss. Do you want to risk, you know, changing that and ruining your reputation, or at least, you know, making your chances of getting the Alabama job a little less likely by going somewhere and it not working. So I think there's definitely something to that.
Got to get your thoughts on the Auburn situation. A couple of weeks ago, everybody was, you know, as excited as could be. I don't know that I've talked to as many folks that are as down in the dumps as Auburn fans are after that loss to South Carolina following the 40 straight points that Mississippi State put on them the week before.
That was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. I think Auburn, I thought Inhartson going to Washington, isn't that a done deal at this point? I
mean, a little talk about that
rumor
too.
About. Yeah. I think that there's going to be ups and downs for Auburn this year. I think at the end of the season, they got dealt a pretty crappy hand in terms of injuries, obviously. But the secondary's faltered. That's not okay because there's some really talented players back there. That's on Derek Mason. The coaching, I think, has been extremely suspect at times. Last week, offensively, well, more than just last week offensively, but also defensively with Derek Mason and making adjustments and not making adjustments and things like that. So a disappointing end, but You know, they beat Ole Miss. That's a huge deal, looking back at it. And Bo Nix actually looked like a really, really good quarterback after he got benched against Georgia State. So, yeah, he got hurt, but that's still a positive sign for the future.
Yeah, you look back and the way he performed against Arkansas, the wins over Ole Miss and Arkansas, that's what really had people excited. Now we'll see. We'll go through the first recruiting season, signing dates coming up in less than a month. They've got a huge group coming in this weekend. They need to impress the experience on them and how those players can help them because, yeah, they're going to go 6-6.
Yeah, 6-6. As long as they win a bowl game, it'll be a winning record, though.
Barrett, do you expect we were talking coaching carousel a little bit earlier in the show. Do you expect both coordinators back at Auburn after the season's over?
I don't know if Bobo would be. I think Derek Mason. Oh man, I'd say it's more likely that Bobo's gone than Derek Mason. But I wouldn't be surprised if both changed, both got open. I don't know. I mean, it's so hard because, like, I mean, it's not like they've been bad.
Yeah.
No, they're not slam. I think there's no slam dunk case here. Right, there's not a. It's not an open and shut deal. I raised the possibility earlier in the show.
How much incentive would there be for Bo Nix to come back and play for another different coordinator? I mean, he's had a different one every single year.
And it looks like retreat. Yeah. I mean, it makes it seem like, you know, there was no success this year, when I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
Yeah, and I mean, Bo looked good under Bobo the last couple of weeks before he got hurt. I don't know. I'd lean toward one of them getting fired. I don't know which one yet.
Yeah. Don't be surprised. I mean, that's the thing. We've seen more moves. And Barrett, why is that? Why have we seen more head coaches being let go earlier than ever? Is it the signing? I mean, what is the reason for all the moves being done so early now?
It's the early signing period. You know, it doesn't really matter, though. That's the thing, is like if you fire a coach, the early signing period is going to suck regardless.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's just the way it is. Unless, you know, even the Clay Helton getting hired by Georgia Southern midseason, and, you know, it's not going to do an awful lot. And like Jim Moore at UConn is not going to do an awful lot, even if he's on the sideline. So it is the early signing period. I think that there's still an adjustment in terms of how athletic directors think that this is going to work and what the best practices are. But, I mean, I don't really think it matters, to be honest with you.
Barrett, we really appreciate it, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and enjoy the weekend. And before we let you go, they'll let everybody know how they can follow everything that you're doing.
Yeah, y'all have a happy Thanksgiving, too. Follow on social media at Barrett Salee. Download the CBS Sports app. Watch CBS Sports HQ. And, hey, you know, we're not going to actually cover the Egg Bowl on Thursday night unless a player pretends to pee like a dog on a fire hydrant. But I hope that I'm working on Thursday, because I want a player to pee on a fake fire hydrant.
Could the Egg Bowl be Lane Kiffin's final game as the coach of Ole Miss? We'll find out later this offseason.
It could be. And you know what, Dan? I'm all for a Mississippi State player. Oh. Pretending to pee on a fire hydrant.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Just all bets are off.
Stay tuned. I'm sure it won't be boring.
Real quick, Barrett. Are the Braves going to sign Freddie? What's going on there?
Yes, they are. They're just being dumb with the 5 years and the 7 years and the 6 years. It's going to end up being a 6-year deal with a mutual option for the seventh. That's just my opinion, but they're not going to let him walk.
They better not. Better not.
They better not.
Thanks, Barrett.
See y'all.
Barrett Salee joining us as he does on Tuesdays.
Great stuff. Great stuff from Barrett this week.
Absolutely. Hope you had a chance to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, if you missed it, you can catch podcasts of The Drive presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Anywhere you get your podcasts, ESPN 106.7's award-winning app. You can use ESPNAU.com or any of the quality podcast providers out there. Just look for The Drive with Bill Cameron, and you'll find all the episodes.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Phone lines back open until 5:30, so we'd love for you to join in here on The Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Let's get back to The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com and on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Got a few minutes left here in hour number one. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline and John. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Looking big picture with Auburn, and I heard some of your comments yesterday, Bill, and I agree with them. Do you guys think that there's any chance Auburn actually wins in Athens or Tuscaloosa next year?
Sure not likely. Let me see when the dust settles who's still on who is on everybody's rosters.
I'd say
no. Auburn would be a double digit underdog in both places.
I'll go further than that. I mean, looking you know, for this far out to next year, I don't think anybody is going to pick up a road win in either of those places. Like that's the guess I'll make. Let alone Auburn.
So the reason I ask that is I think it's imperative Auburn looks at trying to get Alabama and Georgia back on an alternative schedule. If not, it seems to me, guys, and you can weigh in, the margin of error for Harsin is very small, because every time you lose a home game, you're extending that losing streak not by one but by two games. So Harsin's going to go into 2023 most likely on a three-game losing streak to Alabama and a six-game losing streak to Georgia. How much pressure is he going to feel if that should occur? It seems to me that's why this recruiting class is so imperative. And if they just got to do some things to try to turn things around and flip the roster quickly. Or I think that's a really daunting task that he's facing. And that's just my thoughts. I'll let you guys weigh in.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
No question. One of the things that I mentioned with Barrett this Saturday, I think Auburn has done this staff has done a very good job getting talent to come in this Saturday. Now they've got to sell them this Saturday on how those players can help and help immediately. They can't have these players coming in and just going, yeah, that was a fun visit. Now I'm going to go to Alabama or Georgia or Florida or LSU or wherever. They've got to get some of those kids sold on Auburn this Saturday.
I don't know how Auburn would go about getting Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think that's critical. I mean, you've got to beat them when you have the chance, when you have the opportunity. I'm fine with them just being separated. If you ever could get them one home and one away, that'd be fine. Look, nobody's beating those teams right now. We'll see. But again, the most critical thing for me, again, is this Saturday and what happens between now and December 15th for the early signing period. Appreciate the call, John. We're halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive. Get to our top of the hour break. Love for you to join in hour number two. Again, Jake Brain joins us at 5:30, but we're wide open till then. So stick with us on the Tuesday Drive.
W294 AR Auburn, WGCC HD3 Waverly, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7, a broadcast service of Auburn Network Incorporated. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. And on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Drew here in the WOW Business Studio.
That's right. You can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
Hour number two of the Drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web, at orthoclinic.com. And we welcome your calls, questions, comments on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390. You can call us. You can text us.
Yeah, you can drop us a line in the drive text box, 334-564-1840, and make sure you sign your question or comment if you want us to attribute it to you on the air. And we had one earlier in the show, didn't we?
Did we have one?
Didn't we have one in the? It was late yesterday. Did we get to it?
No, I don't think we did. I was going to say one thing we did get yesterday. Yesterday, I was mentioning that I had a couple of tickets. Appreciate Eddie listening in North Carolina. And Eddie has had those tickets transferred to him. So yeah. That's cool, man. You never know where everybody is listening
on
the drive.
We had a texter yesterday ask about the coaching TJ Finley receives on the sideline. And since neither of us went to the game at South Carolina, we can't offer too much analysis about it. But I mean,
Mike Bobo's in the box.
Yeah, but I mean, it does seem like there's communication between drives between Mike Bobo and his quarterback. But no, I can't speak to who's face to face with Finley between series. Trying to coach him up with Bobo inside. Maybe a GA of some kind. Maybe Keesaw. If he's not talking with the receiver, I don't know.
That's a good question though. Yeah. Good question, since his position coach is in the press box. 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Matt gets us started. Hey, Matt.
Hey guys, just heard some rumors going around about maybe Harsin going to Washington, and the athletic director, Alan Green, his job security may be in question. Just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on those things.
There's a lot of talk. I mean, it's that time of year. A couple of things to keep in mind. It's that time of year where the coaching carousel is really cranking up. There's been some talk since Washington's job came open, when one of the things that first came out was that the AD is going to rely heavily on the input of Chris Peterson, who is Brian Harsin's mentor and one of the people closest to Brian Harsin. And that is cranked up even more, I think, because it's Iron Bowl week. I do think that every year there are coaching rumors involving Auburn around this ballgame, as if Alabama needs some distraction from Auburn. But the Alan Green thing has people have been wondering the situation there, because there was talk that he was interested when a couple of jobs.
Michigan State, right? State was he was one of the leading candidates for the Michigan State job earlier this year. And I mean, I understand with Harsin, if Chris Peterson is heavily involved in the coaching search for the next head coach in Washington, because Chris Peterson is still a revered figure within mm-hmm. that athletic department, and was actually moved on from coaching to take an advisor to the president role at the university. So, I mean, Chris Peterson could have an outsized opinion on the next coach at Washington, and Chris Peterson and Brian Harsin are very close. So I can understand why people are sort of drawing that line between Brian Harsin and Washington, but I don't know if we've heard anything substantial.
It's understandable, like you said, it's understandable that his name would be mentioned, and it probably would be a little more surprising if his name weren't mentioned. But no, I haven't heard anything from nearby that it is something that is likely or even fairly possible. But again, don't be surprised. Let's put it two ways. Don't be surprised at anything you hear, but don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah, I would say that decision makers at Auburn should probably have a plan at the ready
mm-hmm.
if Brian Harsin were to surprise them by taking a job they weren't expecting, or if, I guess you can also lump, if circumstances require Auburn and Brian Harsin to part ways in December or January for any reason at all. They may have a plan, but don't expect to have to go to that plan necessarily.
Well,
but
I would think everybody, and we've heard athletics directors say this before, that you always have a list because you never know. You hope that you're not having to go to that list very often. But yes, I would say everybody at this time of year, everybody needs to be prepared, because when some jobs are filled, other jobs are going to come open, because that's where a lot of the bigger players are going to want to fill with someone who has proven themselves at that level.
Yeah, and I haven't spent a lot of time in Seattle, but I mean, I can understand if someone's from that part of the country. Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous city, and there's a lot of, you know, there is a lure, you know, to Washington and to, you know, to that university and to that community. So I can understand why a coach.
Well, let me ask you: do you think it's would be easier to compete in that conference at Washington than it is in the SEC at Auburn?
Are you closer to? Would the current, let's forget about Brian Harsin for a second.
Yeah.
Would Coach X be closer to a conference championship taking over at Washington right now than he would be currently at Auburn? It's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. There are probably fewer programs standing between you and a conference championship at Washington. Now, Washington has been to the playoff, but they were sort of drummed out of it by Alabama in the playoff. But no, I can understand why. I mean, we don't mention Washington when we talk about the, you know, when we just did the list, right, of the LSU and USC and Florida. I mean, it's maybe closer over the last decade to that group of schools just based on wins and losses and conference championships than we're ready to give it credit for. But that's a, I mean, maybe that's not one of the first 15 or 18 jobs you think of as far as the places where you can win a national championship.
Yeah, but it's one that a lot of folks would look at.
Yeah, and they're not that far off. I mean, so yeah, I don't know.
That's interesting, and yes, there's been some rumblings, rumors, things like that, but I really haven't heard anything that sounds like there's real legs to it. Yet. 334-321-1390. And again, like I said, you also have to remember what game's coming up, because this is the time when fans will start posting on everybody else's message boards, knowing that fans of their rivals are going to check those message boards and see if they can run with it.
If Bo Nix didn't already have a broken ankle,
he would have broken it again.
Yeah, this would have been the week, right, where the rumors would have come out that Bo Nix had a broken ankle. So, yeah, you're right. Some of that's going, but I also think there is.
But it makes sense for there to be some discussion or some speculation.
How about this? If Brian Harsin hadn't taken the Auburn job and he was currently the head coach at Boise State,
ooh, he'd probably be a guy that would be right there at the top of most lists when you're putting together likely candidates.
And certainly at Washington, right? I mean, you think about
that's what I mean at Washington.
And maybe at SC too. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, if USC was willing to go outside the Power Five, maybe Southern Cal would look at him. But certainly, I think if Brian Harsin had not taken the Auburn job and he was having a typical Brian Harsin Boise State season at Boise, yes, I think it would be totally understandable to put him near the top of ideal candidates at the University of Washington.
334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise? As we were talking with Barrett Tilley, James Franklin getting an extension. You know, he'd been talked about possibly at Southern Cal, LSU. You know, those were a couple of jobs where his name was mentioned. And now he has parlayed that into an extension and a raise at Penn State.
The other job that we should probably mention more is Virginia Tech. Because, I mean, even though Justin Fuente had an up and down couple of years. But that's another place that's... I mean, they're not far off, you know, year in and year out from the top of the conference, and they've had years where, I mean, they absolutely have had years where they can contend for more than just a conference championship, and that's going to be the expectation of whoever the next coach is. You've mentioned Jamie Chadwell. I think that would be... It'd be a great spot for him to jump into Power Five football if that's what he's looking to do. And I can understand why, you know, I mean, just geographically and philosophically, why it would make sense. And after watching him beat Auburn, I can understand why there'd be push from the Virginia Tech folks to bring Shane Beamer and that exciting energy, to Virginia Tech. Although I could also understand why he'd want to stay.
Yeah, I've got a feeling Shane Beamer's not going to go anywhere, at least for a while. I think probably, the expectations of him being his dad would be pretty tough there at Virginia Tech. I'll tell you what, something else I saw today as we talk about some of the other openings, there's apparently a good bit of buzz about the possibility of if Spike Dykes takes the Texas Tech job.
Sonny,
my bad. Yeah, his son.
Speaking of sons, yeah,
right.
Speaking of,
if Sonny takes the job, then SMU very well is ready to hire Rhett Lashley, who, of course, was the offensive coordinator there before he went down to Miami.
Right, and TCU is you know that's a program, you know, having parted ways with Gary Patterson. I think a lot of folks are making the assumption that Sonny Dykes is next in line, mm-hmm. with the success he's having at SMU right now and his deep ties to the state of Texas. He's a Texas Tech, former Texas Tech baseball player, actually. He's on that
right.
list of the guys who didn't play college football, but he's enjoying success right now as a college football coach. I could see that. The guy in Texas I keep waiting to see, you know, what's going to happen with is Dion. I don't know. Maybe this isn't the off season where somebody, you know, decides to go all in with Deion Sanders. I would watch.
You know what? Part of it may just depend on how many other jobs come open.
You know,
I mean, speaking of Miami, is Manny Diaz safe at Miami now?
I'll tell you where I could see Deion Sanders if they make a move. And maybe they won't do this because the last coach they hired was also sort of an offbeat, off-the-wall choice, and you can only make so many of those in a row. Deion Sanders at Arizona State would make some sense. Like, I could see Deion Sanders being able to recruit to Phoenix and to a school that has maybe a reputation for having a good time. And it's close to Texas. It's close to Southern California. It's a big media market. And the Herm Edwards thing doesn't seem to be going all that great at the moment. And there seems to be increasing sort of consternation about what's going on, what direction, they're headed in. I wonder if Deion Sanders there could be it looking at Power Five programs where maybe Deion Sanders could fit. Arizona State comes to mind as, yeah, they could have an opening this offseason, and maybe it wouldn't be the craziest idea in the world.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. I just saw some sad news. I know there are a lot of Auburn fans that, you know, weren't the biggest fans of this guy, but longtime sports writer and sports editor of the Tuscaloosa News for years and years, Cecil Hurt passed today. I had not seen that. I just saw a post passing away here, Iron Bowl week.
Yeah, just 12 minutes ago, the official Twitter feed or the Twitter page of Cecil passing away, the statement being posted. Cecil Hurt passed away this afternoon at UAB Medical Center in Birmingham. He was treated for pneumonia complicated by underlying issues. Cecil passed away while surrounded by family and a close friend. Please keep Cecil's family in your prayers as they cope with his passing. His family sincerely appreciates the outpouring of love and support shown to Cecil throughout this process. They also would like to thank the doctors, nurses, and staff at UABICU for the exemplary care and compassion they provided to Cecil and his family. Funeral arrangements will be announced at a later date. Rest in peace, Cecil. Yes, sad news from a guy who, was nearly four decades of covering Alabama sports.
Probably more than that, I would think. Seems like he goes back before the 80s.
Nearly four decades just at the Tuscaloosa News.
Yeah.
I think. I mean that. Yeah, he goes back a while, and yeah, just a sad piece of news breaking in the last few minutes.
We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Again, phone lines are open. We will talk with Jake Crane a little after 5:30. So we'd love for you to join in here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. You're live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. And on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 18 minutes after 5 o'clock, and let's get right to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Jeremy's up first. Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah, hey, guys. The news on Cecil Hurt is pretty sad. Like y'all said, you're not gonna agree with much of what he said, but you're not going to find many people that covered college athletics and were as good a writer as he was.
Yeah, you're right.
It was that college athletics is going to miss him just as much as Alabama and Tuscaloosa will. It's been a hard, 3 weeks now on me since the Braves won the World Series. Auburn is 0-3. The Saints are 0-3. And both have done so in spectacular fashion.
Well, who sold their soul then? That's what it sounds like.
Look, I told somebody the other day, apparently I am the one who sacrificed everything for the Braves World Series. I'm waiting on my ring and my invite to opening day next year.
Well, I got to ask you the same question I asked Barrett. Are they going to hurry up and sign Freddie here?
I think so. I mean, he's a little more on the long term. I really think the Braves don't want to give him much more than 5 years.
Right.
I don't blame them. Like these guys that play into their late 30s, there's just not a lot of good track records on that. And I don't completely blame the Braves at all for trying to get him locked up for 5 good years with a 6-year option.
Yeah, I think if the NL adopts the DH, and it seems like they will, maybe it makes it a little bit easier to swallow. I just wonder if somebody's going to come with an irresponsible offer. Like, that's what I keep waiting on with Freddie Freeman, is if the Yankees, one of the big market West Coast teams, the Red Sox,
you don't know if he's out there looking for that.
Right.
Even if they do come in with that kind of offer, Freddie is a little more union guy than I like, but I don't think he's looking to go anywhere else. We've still got a football game, right?
Two that I know of, but yeah, there's definitely one this Saturday. Don't know when the next one will be.
I'm holding off Graydon, wondering if he's going to go to Washington. I know that's kind of what you guys are for, but
what?
I have very few problems with.
Wait a minute. Did you say we're for him going to Washington?
To talk about that sort of thing, I think is what you meant. But we were asked the question, in fairness, too.
Yeah, I'm all for y'all talking about him.
Okay. No, I
realize
that's
y'all's job.
Oh, okay.
No, that's y'all's job. But, like, I just give me till Monday next week before we have to deal with that. We're not too far off of where most people thought we would be.
No, it's just hadn't gotten there the way that anybody thought. I mean, being 6-2, or if you put the wins against Arkansas and Ole Miss here lately and these losses back a few weeks, I'd feel a whole lot different.
Look, if I told you at the beginning of the year we would end the streak at LSU, knock off two top 25 teams, and
losing South Carolina again.
One of your only losses is to another top 25 team. I don't know that anybody would tell you that's too disappointing of a season.
No, and honestly, Jeremy, I was thinking about this. Now, I haven't talked about it since the South Carolina game, but I was thinking about the Mississippi State loss. And I know a lot of people want to hearken back to the toughness and how, where Coach Dye brought Auburn, which I agree 100% with. Look at Coach Dye's first year. He absolutely, and he would tell you this to his last breath, that he lost a Mississippi State game. He had no reason to lose his first year. So it's not unheard of to lose games that you shouldn't lose early on.
Well, every coach loses a ball game somewhere you shouldn't lose. I almost fell out of my seat at work today because I was listening to your podcast from yesterday's show, and somebody called in talking about how the problem with Gus Malzahn was that he never lost those games. Like, he always beat the teams he was supposed to beat. And I almost dropped it. I was like, does he remember Tennessee and South Carolina and even Texas A&M in year two here? Like, you're losing. He lost games to teams he should beat by 4 or 5 touchdowns all the time. It happened. But I don't, and this idea that we've got to run everybody out of town after year one, like, I just don't think it's been that bad. You haven't been completely blown out of a ball game other than Georgia yet. And Georgia's beaten everybody by 4 touchdowns. You were in that game longer than most teams have been.
Mm-hmm.
I this has just not been a spectacularly awful season for me. And I look, If Arkansas can stay within seven and LSU can stay within six of Alabama, we can beat them. And I'm not worried about that at all. It will take us showing up and playing exceptionally well. But it is not a foregone conclusion for me that they're just going to waltz in here and kick our tails up and down the field.
And I hope you're right, Jeremy. Hope you're right. We've got to move on because we've got calls and we want to try to get as many as possible in. And Matt is up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey, just a quick reminder to all the Auburn fans out there, all the people I work with at Auburn fans that are ticket holders are bailing out on the game this weekend. Can we not sell the tickets? Don't sell them to Alabama fans. Everybody's selling their tickets to we want as many Auburn people there as we can, especially – give the recruits a good experience, but I think the players deserve that. But anyway,
I agree. I made a point. I did have some extra tickets, but I know who I sold them to. So
yeah, well, I think that's the least we can do. But anyway, I can't say much because I'm not a season ticket holder. But maybe anyway. Any word? I guess does Papo, is he out? Is he just basically going to take the?
Yeah, I don't think. I think he's just going to try to get as healthy as possible. Now, a couple of people are saying. That it's not a done deal that he is gone after this year, but I think he just wants to get healthy. So I don't think we'll see him at least not Saturday.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he's getting some advice, you know, saying it'd be great for your stock if you had a great season as a linebacker, which you probably need to have next year. You know, it's too late to fix that this season. So at the same time, the athleticism and the potential's there where I could see why he'd make the decision to jump right now.
Yeah, well, last thing I'll say, you guys keep saying what happened, you know, Mississippi State. We lost our starting quarterback on a sort of a borderline mediocre talent team, and there are just not many teams in SEC who lose their three-year starter that are going to be at the same level. So I think we need to take a deep breath and move on from that. And I don't think Finley's going to have a great game this weekend because I think their edge, what's his name? Anderson's going to be
Will
all over.
Anderson.
He may have 10 sacks.
Will Anderson is a nightmare. Appreciate the call, Matt. Yeah, Will Anderson is a nightmare. Auburn still should have beaten South Carolina. Without Bo Nix, they still should have beaten South Carolina. I mean, but like I said with Jeremy, it happens. Especially, what you don't want is you don't want to see that happening years into a coach's tenure. But things like that can happen and do happen early in many coaches' tenures.
Yeah, I understand. I understand the doubts. I also understand why folks want to see a little bit more. Let's get Dan before we. I know we got the hard break coming up. We got J-Boy on the.
Yeah, we got about 3 minutes.
Next segment. We still got time for Dan. What's up, Dan?
Hey guys. Yeah, I kind of liked what Jeremy was saying. You know, look, we were in all those games. In fact, we were leading. You know, the last two games, and for some questionable calls on one game, and for. You know, you lose your starting quarterback and your best wide receiver in a position where you're already kind of, like, weak at. You know, those are just tough losses and your kicker. You know, not trying to come up with excuses. Look, you know, you got to just kind of fight your way through it. But, you know, we put a good plan together that got us up 14 points, and then we just couldn't seal the deal. It's just you can look back at all the games minus Georgia, and even Georgia, we had our opportunities. It wasn't like
Georgia, you know, Auburn couldn't hold on to the ball. Oh, I did want to point out before we get to the bottom of the hour, T.J. Finley today, while he was talking with the media, said that Kobe Hudson has been cleared to return to practice. Maybe not contact, but be back out there. So that's good news, and sounds like Kobe should be back Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, he gets the concussion and we lose him, and then they don't call targeting. But yet he's out in the next game.
Well, yeah, so you can get a concussion without it being targeting, though. I mean, yeah.
Well, but I'm just saying this. It's like, look, I think we're not that far off, and I think we just got to get some key players in some certain positions, and I think, you know, it can get a lot better. But, you know, I just think I agree. We need everybody to come to the stadium. I mean, look, everybody has seen all the crazy games that we've seen in the past, whether it's kick six or others. It can happen, and this is not a great Alabama team. This is a team that we can score on, you know, and we'll just see. But anyway, appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate it, Dan. Josh, we've got about 30 seconds.
If y'all want to, I can wait till the break.
Well, I was going to say, we've got Jake Crane coming up on the other side. You want to hit us with the highlights? Then we can get you after we talk with Jake.
That's fine. Yes, sir.
I appreciate it, Josh. Yeah, we'll be back. We're going to have Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show coming up, and we're going to talk to him about everything going on in the world of SEC athletics. And of course, we'll get his thoughts on what's going on here at Auburn. And also, I mean, Jake's got his finger on the pulse of the coaching carousel as well, so we'll talk to him about what's going on in Florida, LSU, Southern Cal, Virginia Tech, Washington, and all the other big jobs that may come open before the end of the college football season.
That's right. So stick with us for the final half hour of the Tuesday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. And on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Tuesday evening, Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio. Drew at the controls. And right now, we're going to go to the Kia of Auburn hotline. Welcome in our regular Thursday 5:30 guest. That, of course, is Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show on the Volume. Jake, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing really good. I appreciate y'all having me back this week.
Yeah, just, trying to keep up with the coaching carousel. Let's see. James Franklin steps off in pretty good shape. A 10-year extension for James Franklin after he was mentioned briefly with the Southern Cal and the LSU jobs. We saw the numbers being tossed at Mel Tucker. It's a good time to be a successful coach when there are job openings like there are right now.
Yeah, I mean, leverage is it's a hell of a thing. And, you know, it's something we've been talking about since last week because more jobs are about to pop open. I'm interested to see what Miami does. But there's going to be a ton of demand for head coaches all across Power 5 and college football in general. But how good is the supply at the end of the day? I don't think the supply is going to be able to match the demand.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, since we spoke, Florida pulls the trigger on Dan Mullen, something that we talked about last week, and I'm not surprised. Maybe I was a little surprised they went ahead and did it after this past weekend, but you lose to Missouri to sort of cap that step off the cliff that Florida has had this year. I guess we shouldn't be shocked.
Well, you know, for Dan Mullen to get fired for something that wasn't an off-the-field issue or something that you have to fire a guy over that was on the field, it was going to have to be really bad. And it's been really bad. I mean, you look at just the inconsistency from the team all the way from the quarterback position to the defense. And if you're Scott Strickland, the AD, I mean, your hand was almost forced. Because, I mean, just take the West out of it. Look at the trajectory of some of the teams in the East. Georgia right now. We know how dominant they are as they're marching their way towards a national championship, most likely. Tennessee is on an upward trajectory with Josh Heupel. South Carolina and Shane Beamer. We know that Drinkwitz can recruit. Kentucky is kind of cemented themselves in that tier underneath Georgia as well. So it's a bad time to be having a bad time. And sometimes you got to cut the arm off to save the body. And that's what Scott Strickland did.
Yeah, the end of the Dan Mullen era at Florida sort of reminds me of the end of the Bobby Petrino era at Louisville, when he went from first in the division to last in the division in the span of about 2 years, and was putting some of the worst football you've ever seen out there. But by the end of his tenure, despite such a promising start there, we earlier in the show were kicking around ideas for where Florida could go or some of the splashiest names Florida could reasonably chase after. Bob Stoops and Lane Kiffin make sense in their own ways, with, you know, but there are question marks, you know, with both of them. I'd be interested to know where you think Florida could target their search now that they've moved on from Dan Mullen.
I think Billy Napier is the guy that they contacted after the South Carolina loss. That's very high on their board. Look, I'd be shocked if Scott Strickland hired Lane Kiffin. They aren't exactly best buds. So I would be very surprised if Lane ended up there. And, you know, Bob Stoops, great coach, but if people forget, you know, he didn't really love recruiting. And Dan, when the knock on Dan Mullen is,
yep,
you know, he doesn't love to do the stuff outside of the innovative stuff offensively. So I don't see how that would make sense. So I think it's Billy Napier is out in the lead right now. I'm very interested to see between him and you heard the name Mark Stoops been thrown around a little bit. I think that's just a leverage play to get him even more of an increase than he was already going to get from Kentucky. But no, I'd be shocked if Lane ended up in Florida. I listen, if Miami opens, I would not be shocked to see Lane there, though.
Nah, that would make more than a little bit of sense. You know, as far as Billy Napier is concerned, it seems like LSU folks have always just sort of wanted him to be an in case, sort of a safety net type guy. But with the word that Florida is interested in him, does that increase LSU's interest in Billy Napier?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, Bill. I think LSU's already got their guy. I just don't think we know it yet. I think they do. At the end of the day, these are very, you know, very complex. I always say it's like on those like CSI shows when they are like Criminal Minds, when they go in the boardroom and there's all those pictures on the bulletin board with like the strings attached to each one of them, you know, when they're trying to solve the case. That's what it's like. But I got a feeling LSU already has their guy, to be honest with you. But look, you know, Billy's a guy that's built up a lot of equity at Lafayette. And last year, you know, there was some flirtation with Auburn. He decided to, you know, wait around another year, and looks like it was a pretty smart decision with all the openings and movement right now. You know, I don't think it's something to where LSU, honestly, in that state, from what I've been able to gather, a lot of them wouldn't be super excited about hiring a guy that coached within the state. Take that for what you will, but from what I could gather, that's a real thing over there.
Yeah, I do know. I know a few LSU folks that their sights are set a lot higher than Billy Napier.
Yeah, well, again, you know, I mean, Florida and LSU are elite jobs. They're both top 10 jobs in the country. So, you know, and if you look right now in the state of Florida, I mean, that whole state's up for grabs. Florida's looking for a coach. Don't know if Miami's going to keep Manny Diaz or let him go. Florida State's still trying to come up. So if anybody's going to grab the state, now's the time to do it.
Talking with Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. And, yeah, coaching carousel already in overdrive with some big programs looking for their next leader. Here at Auburn, you got year one of Brian Harsin. In the last few weeks, you know, things have taken a bit of a turn for Brian Harsin's maiden voyage as Auburn's coach. And, yeah, the loss at South Carolina Saturday night, a real disappointing one for Auburn.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, you look at the second half versus Mississippi State, and then the performance against South Carolina. You know, I know that Bo Nix is out, but that was a team you had a lot better roster than. You know, Kobe Hudson was out. That was unfortunate, but you went right down the field, put up 14 points, and you know, it seems like the last couple weeks Auburn just relaxes for some reason, and they're not where they need to be from a roster standpoint. You never want to relax ever. You know, that's half the trick. But Auburn's not good enough to be able to relax against anybody and beat them. And South Carolina, at the end of the day, looked like they wanted that game more, and they took it. And look, you know, you say what you want about the officials. They've been bad all year. I've been out front, you know, against the officials. I think they've been bad across the board, not only in college, but in the NFL. But Auburn right now, you know, it went from something to where it looked like it was going to be a banner first year for Brian Harsin, and now you're just trying to make sure that, you know, you can salvage, you know, a 6-6 year, which, looking at Alabama with the injuries Auburn has still, it's going to be a tough one, even though you never know in the Iron Bowl. So yeah, it's been tough for Auburn, but at the end of the day, you know, what happens on the field happens on the field. And those are things that you can control, and Auburn just hadn't been able to control them.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I mean, before the Texas A&M game, there was no way, I don't think, that you could convince any Auburn fan that they'd be fighting for their lives, hoping to win a bowl game to finish above 500.
Yeah, you know, we looked at the schedule before the year, and I was like, I would, if I had to guess right now, I'd guess 7-5. Anything 8-4 and above, you know, I thought would be a heck of a coaching job. But yeah, it just shows you it's a marathon, not a sprint. And look, I understand that a lot of people, and I think you got to look at Mike Bobo and Derek Mason at the end of the year and make a decision there. I don't think, you know, either one of their performances has really been stellar throughout the year, even though I thought Bo Nix improved a lot from a fundamental standpoint. You're going to have to check that out at the end of the year. But you got to give Ryan Hartson a chance to get his guys in to be able to do exactly what he wants to do. Now, I will say, when you lose on the field like this at the end, it makes signing day and where you finish even more important. And we all know how much pressure was already on Ryan Hartson and his staff to have a big recruiting year.
Yeah, there are a couple of things I definitely want to get your thoughts on. You spend a little time with Bo Nix every week. I mentioned this a little earlier when someone was talking about Mike Bobo. How do you think Bo would feel about playing for another offensive coordinator in college next year?
Man, you know, that's tough. You know, I wouldn't blame him either way. And listen, I'm not saying and Mike Bobo is not a bad coach. I just think, you know, that there's been games where, you know, Auburn is come out and the script's been hot and he's pushed all the right buttons. It does come down to personnel. Okay. There are guys that are average play callers with elite personnel that look like elite play callers. And there's elite play callers with average personnel, that are made to be look like average play callers. But, I think, you know, it's something where you haven't seen the offense really evolve enough to a point where they're able to continually score and the adjustments in the second half. That's the biggest part. That's what you look at because, you know, it's not easy to game plan, but it's a lot easier to game plan than it is to start playing the game once you get off script or it goes a different way than you thought it was going to go.
This is more – I mean, this question's – and there's a lot of speculation involved in what I'm about to ask you because it involves, I mean, if Auburn were to make a change with either coordinator, earlier in the show we were sort of discussing, would Brian Harsin look to somebody that he's worked with before and has a pre-existing relationship with, you know, even though that person may be somewhat foreign to the SEC, or would it be more important to go with somebody who's a needle mover in the Southeast as a recruiter and somebody who's more familiar to the area? Do you think there's, I mean, do you have any insight on where, if Auburn were to replace either coordinator, you know, what they could be looking for in a replacement?
I mean, it's really what the market bears. I could tell you, you know, one guy on each side that I would look at, if that would suffice.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll work. That's an excellent answer.
Well, just hypothetical, I'm not saying it's going to happen or that it should happen, but, you know, if they were to move on from Mike Bobo, I'd try and go get Garrett Riley from SMU that's about to be at TCU. I'd try and go get him. And then on the defensive side, I'd go get Zach Arnett from Mississippi State. I'm telling you, that guy is an up-and-comer. He's unbelievably fiery. The guys love playing for him. Just watch Mississippi State, the way they played in that second half. They got a top-15 rush defense. He's aggressive. He's not afraid to take chances, but he's also not crazy with it. He's a guy that's very well respected in the coaching community for a young guy, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody goes and gets him, and then somebody goes and tries to get Jim Leonard from Wisconsin.
There will be a lot. I mean, there are going to be so many because of all the head coaching openings now. That means when they're filled, there are going to be other openings, and so many staffs are going to be shaken up. It's going to be a crazy offseason. But, hey, before we get there, we've got the signing period, the early signing period, just 3 weeks away. And this Saturday, Jake, is critical for Auburn. They've got names coming in. Now they need to do a selling job and get so that they can try to get some of those names to sign with Auburn.
Oh, for sure. I mean, these are opportunities. They're worth their weight in gold. And it's not saying that you have to come out and win either. I mean, right. You got to come out and look competent. You got to come out. It needs to be a close game, a physical game, because you can always at the end of the game go, see how close we are. You're the difference. We get you in here. You know, we win this game. Or if you win it, you go tell them, see, I told you, we're not playing games in here. We're not afraid of anybody, whatever, whatever. So yeah, Auburn needs to go out and take advantage of it. There's few times where you get this amount of elite talent on campus. I'm sure, you know, Usher and them will do a really good job structurally and making sure everything flows smoothly and questions are answered and stuff like that. So it's a huge one. You got to go out and perform on the field.
Talking with Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show and making some time for us, and we always appreciate Jake doing so. What about the game on the field, Jake? I mean, is there – it feels like a mismatch the last few weeks – would tell you, although Alabama has played some competitive games against teams Auburn beat in Arkansas and LSU, you would still think, boy, a lot has to go right for Auburn and a lot has to go wrong for Alabama for this thing to be close for an extended period of time.
Well, you know, listen, in this game, after the stuff we've seen, guys, that's happened in this game, I mean, I'll never say never about anything, but you know, you try and look at each year individually and every circumstance, you know, within the circumstance that it is. Alabama has a lot better roster than Auburn does. They're a lot better than Auburn is up front. You know, Auburn's playing with a backup quarterback. Kobe Hudson's hopefully back. Alabama's shown that, you know, they're mortal. They can be mortal on either side of the ball Saturday, on Saturdays. I mean, you've seen Saturdays where the defense played good and the offense struggled, and the offense played good and the defense struggled. So does Auburn need a little help? Yeah, but if they go out there and they can establish the line of scrimmage and take it into the fourth quarter, you never know what can happen.
Well, you know, everybody, you know, we will find out. That's why they play it on the field on Saturday. Jake, man, we really appreciate you spending time with us before we let you go and wish you happy Thanksgiving. Remind everybody of how they can catch all the great stuff that you're doing there every day on the Volume.
Yeah, well, we're live every weekday from 2 to 3 Central. We got Bruce Pearl coming on tomorrow before the big basketball game against UConn, big ranked matchup. Talking with him, he's always a great time to talk to. You can find us, like I said, on YouTube. Just look up the Volume. It's really easy to navigate through. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Y'all enjoy y'all's Thanksgiving, man.
All right, you too, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Talk to you soon, Jake.
All right, see y'all.
Jake Crane joining us as he does on Tuesdays. Just a little programming note. David Paschal, who's usually with us on Thursday, is going to be with us tomorrow. So we'll have Jason Caldwell in hour number one. David Paschal joining us after 5 o'clock.
I'll see if maybe Ferguson can get a phone call in Friday since we're not talking to him on Thursday. I'll see if Justin's available Friday and maybe. Maybe Sonny Smith on his way back. He might be broadcasting a game.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he might be busy, so we might have to push Sonny to next week. He was great last week catching on the bus there before they went to the arena in Tampa.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon, evening, I guess I ought to call it. Still time for you to join in here on the Tuesday Drive.
Time to churn up some more yardage on the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com and on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final segment here on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Derek is next. Hey, Derek.
Hey, as John would say, hey, guys. How are y'all?
Doing all right? Doing all right, Derek. Good to hear from you.
Dan, thanks for texting me back Saturday night. It was just, it kind of walked me off the ledge that I was about to jump off of. I had just tough night.
Indeed.
I didn't call yesterday. Didn't call yesterday because I was so upset. And Bill, I appreciate you ranting for me because you said
I didn't need any help. I didn't need any help, Derek. No,
you did not. And then this afternoon, I'm thinking now I'm calling and I'm going to be level headed. Tell them what I think. So I'm out in the yard putting up Christmas decorations, and I'm listening to you guys on my earpods. I almost sliced my finger off with a dadgum razor blade knife, cutting all the stickers off the things I'm hanging up. Then I get this alert on my phone while I'm listening to you, and I assume this is an Apple alert that says, you have been listening to your iPods too long. You need to turn them down severely. You have had lengthy times with your iPods too loud.
Wow.
So, or AirPods. So I guess now Apple's going to tell us, you know, how I guess I listen to you guys too much on my AirPods. I'm going to have to start getting me a speaker.
I didn't realize they did that. No.
I didn't either. And that's the first time I've ever seen the message, but I sure got it. You know, not this week, but last week when Terry called after the game show, Dan, I always listen. He said that he feels like there'll be a mass exodus after this season. And I, of all the things I've heard everybody say, I don't agree with Terry a lot. Sometimes I do, mostly I don't. But I agree with him on that. I think we're going to see a mass exodus. And I know you guys keep saying that, you know, the way you get these recruits, you can bring them in and say, hey, look, we need your help. You can see where we're deficient. I just don't think the young kids look at things that way. I think they look at things like, I want to be a winner.
Front runners.
Yes.
Kid, I mean, and it's especially at the top. I mean, it does. That would explain how it does seem like the programs that consistently compete for conference championships are also the programs consistently signing the five stars in much greater numbers than everyone else. Like, it does seem like that would play to the argument that, yeah, the top players in college football, by and large, don't seem like they want to jump in on rebuilding projects when
No, but they do still want to play, and they expect to play early. I was telling Dan, Derek, and yeah, sorry, we're about out of
great
time.
Great stuff, Derek.
I was telling Dan, though, we don't know about these guys yet. We will find out a lot more about their recruiting abilities over the next few weeks, and it's going to be critical, absolutely critical, because Auburn needs to add talent to this roster. Appreciate all the calls, Jake Crane, Barrett Salee. But we're out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. Let's, Dan, have a great broadcast.
Thank you. Yeah, again, Troy, tonight on the SEC Network, taking on Missouri. And you can catch me at TroyTrojans.com. Tomorrow, Information Jason.
That's right. Jason Caldwell joins us in hour number one. David Pascal with us in hour number two. We hope you'll join us as well. That's going to do it for the Tuesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.